This is the second interview Ed has done with Eric Pelton. Eric is founder of Eric M. Pelton Associates, PLLC, a boutique trademark law firm in Falls Church, Virginia. Eric has been named a top 10 trademark filer by NameProtect's Trademark Insider 2 times and is the creator of AppTourney IP, an iPhone application for intellectual property attorneys, www.apptourney.com. This conversation centers around the topic of branding for law firms.
Eric, thanks for joining us today. Our topic today is an interesting one that's come up in a number of different contexts. We're going to talk about branding and branding specifically for law firms. Let me start our conversation by asking you a question about whether law firms should even be concerned about or focus on the issue of branding.
Ed, I think that one is a no-brainer, and the answer is yes. For a variety of reasons, the most important of which is marketing, that everything today, to be a successful law firm, you have to attract clients and you have to retain clients. And in order to do so, you have to communicate with clients. And increasingly, the days of personal referrals and personal meetings with potential clients are dwindling, and new media and ways of reaching out to potential clients, particularly with electronic communications and websites and blogs and social media pages, are replacing some of those older interactions, and branding is critical for these types of new interactions.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because over and over again, I hear the commentary from marketing consultants and others that marketing is all about personal relationships. You've got to establish a personal relationship before somebody can be interested in hiring you. What's the expression? They have to know that you care about them before they're going to care about you and hire you, something to that effect. So how does what you just said about the new social media context and branding relate to this idea of personal relationships?
Well, I guess I would first disagree with the importance of personal relationships. I certainly think that personal relationships are wonderful, and that is an avenue to create many interactions with potential clients. But I believe that less and less people have the time to go out there and network face-to-face, both less and less attorneys and fewer potential clients. So we have to find ways to replace that. And I can say personally, the great majority of my clients find me through my website, through my online marketing, through Google AdWords, and the great majority of them, I never meet face-to-face. Now, that's maybe a little bit unique because I'm practicing intellectual property and it's federal and I have clients all over the country and all over the world, so they're not inherently local and nearby and easy to meet face-to-face. But I believe that having a brand, to go back to where we started, can still establish the trust and a connection. It's not going to be the same personal face-to-face connection, but it still can be a connection that resonates with a potential client. And that, again, goes to the significance of building and using a brand that reflects the message that you as an attorney or that your firm is trying to communicate to potential clients.
In earlier years, the name of the firm essentially was the name of the partners. When you became a partner, the law firm name changed so that it included your name. And some law firm names, extended to be 4, 5, 6, 7, even 8 names. In recent times, I'm thinking of firms like Skadden Arps, who still has as its firm name a 4-person name, or Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, but when you talk about them, you probably talk about Gibson or Gibson Dunn. O'Melveny & Myers used to be a longer name, and so forth. So where do we go in terms of branding using partners' names?
I think we are moving towards an era where the partners' names are less important, and certainly listing more than two or three is impractical and becomes very difficult to market effectively. And so you're seeing shortening of those names, as you mentioned. And a lot of the impetus for that, I think, is in creating a logo. 10, 20 years ago, I don't believe many law firms had logos or gave much thought to logos. Today, you see all the top law firms have logos that either incorporate the most important, you know, names of their partners, or incorporate something about the industries or the fields in which they work, or they incorporate something if they're a technology firm, you know, something that suggests that they're high tech. And you see, you know, they'll use colors and a lot of acronyms, or sometimes just pull the letters out of those partners' names to shorten it and make it easier to recognize, easier to identify, and create a brand presence that has some colors and has some design elements that help communicate the message that the firm wants to communicate.
Well, in my own case, I've registered as a trademark two ideas, actually more than two, but two that I'm thinking of at the moment. One is the business of law, which I registered in 1995, and the other one is LawBiz, LAWBIZ. How does a law firm, as you say, using the names of one or more of their partners, register the law firm name or otherwise get some kind of trademark registration that protects them?
Excellent question. And I think that usually it will be a logo in that case that is more creative than just a listing of partners' names.
So in other words, it's not the partners' names that gets a trademark. It's the development of a special logo that gets the mark.
Correct. And it could separately include a slogan like the business of law, or something similar to that. I just recently came up with a new slogan for my firm that I'm in the process of filing to register, and it's trademark is our experience, experience is our trademark. And so you identified properly that trademark registration is another thing that firms should consider when they're putting together this branding package, in terms of clearing the name and the logo and the slogan that they're doing to make sure it's unique, and then filing to protect it to be able to use the registered trademark symbol and to be able to enhance the value of that brand and that design as a asset owned by the firm.
Over time, when things change, the world changes. I'm thinking particularly of Xerox, where it was a trademark, a registered mark, but in today's world, you say, well, let's just go Xerox something. And they've become so successful that maybe they've lost the value of their mark. They seldom say go photocopy. Google is almost at that point where, because of the search popularity and breadth of their operation, you say, let's, you know, go Google something. Use it as a verb instead of the noun or pronoun. In my case, in 1995, nobody used the word of the word business and the word law or legal profession in the same sentence. Today, people seem to think that that's just descriptive. How do you, you know, and I guess maybe I've become too successful. How is it that a firm can protect itself from somebody saying, well, that's just description and therefore not protectable?
Well, there are a variety of ways, but certainly registering it and then really providing notice at every opportunity that every time it's used, that term or that phrase that is a protected trademark needs to be highlighted in bold or in a different font or in italics and use the registered trademark symbol when applicable to really drive home the message to everybody that this is part of our brand, this is an asset, this is protected intellectual property, and there are, you know, benefits and repercussions that come with that, repercussions if it's copied. So providing that notice in as many places and as frequently as possible is beneficial. You also have to do some monitoring and enforcement and follow-up on your own. That is, your duty as the trademark owner in order to keep it strong. But I want to go back to you mentioned how firms can create such a tagline or creative name that would be worthy of protection. And other ideas that you see a lot of firms now is having newsletters that have a title that is not just the firm's name, or they have a blog or an iPhone app, and they have creative names that may suggest the firm's name, or they may suggest the field of business that they're marketing to. And those names are certainly trademarks when they're original and when they're creative. And you're seeing more and more firms now identify them as trademarks and use the symbols and go ahead and file and receive registrations for them, because that's becoming, that's more and more an important way that they're driving business.
Well, what's the difference then between a registered mark? I've used the word trademark here. I'm not sure that's the correct term. And compare that with copyright or other forms of protection. How would you distinguish them? Not that I'm asking for a course in intellectual property on the phone here, but for the purpose of our audience, what is the right format for them to think about?
Yeah, well, a copyright, you get more protection just by having created and used it than you do with a trademark or with a patent. And so the registration is not as critical, and the registration process is not as thorough or vigorous. But a registration for a copyright for some sort of original work or content or art is important if there is a dispute in order to be able to enforce it and go to court. A trademark registration is a bit of a more complex process. There's a more stringent review by the government where they check for potential conflicts and where third parties can file an opposition to your application if they believe that they would be impacted, that it mm-hmm. potentially infringes their rights. The proper way to go about it is to, probably consult an intellectual property attorney, do a clearance search before adopting any kind of new name or logo or branding package or slogan. And then once you file to register it with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, it takes about a year to complete the registration process on average. In the interim, while it's pending, you can use TM or SM, and more likely law firms would be using SM because they're providing services and not a physical product. So mm-hmm. technically it's a service mark rather than a trademark. And then once it's registered, they would use the R with a circle that denotes that it is registered. And the registration, the other difference between trademark and copyright and patent, trademark registration can be renewed over and over and over and over again indefinitely. So Coca-Cola, for example, has trademark registrations in the word Coca-Cola and Coke that go back decades, and they can renew them continually every 10 years under the current law.
Eric, it seems to me that what we're talking about is a real need on the part of people who want to register something as their in their ownership, that is a trademark. But like a signed contract, it also seems to me that it is an invitation to a lawsuit and nothing more. You get a trademark, somebody else, well, like Xerox or Google that I mentioned before, and somebody uses those terms, and I'll, charitably say abuses those terms intentionally or otherwise. Now, you send in a lawyer's letter, quote-unquote, to cease and desist, and they don't. Let's say they're a big organization, and you're a small, you're the owner of the mark, but you're small physically and economically. How can you protect yourself?
Well, again, having the registration actually benefits you greatly in that situation, in that it makes the case much more open and shut. Now, obviously, there's a variety of facts, and every case is different, but if you have a registration, you have a much better chance in general, in my experience, of being able to show somebody, this is protected, this is ours, we were using it first, here's a government certificate that sort of blessed that, and there's a much better chance of resolving the dispute before it goes to litigation. And a great majority of trademark cases are resolved before they go to litigation, and then a great majority of the ones that go to litigation are resolved before they go to before they go to the jury or before they go to a final decision. So, yes, having intellectual property, while it is a wonderful and a critical and valuable asset, it does take money and time and effort to enhance the value of that asset, but. You know, when you look at the successful companies of this generation, you know, intellectual property is critical to what they're doing, whether it's eBay or Google and their algorithms, Amazon.com and the strength of that brand name and the strength of their shopping mechanisms. All of the companies these days that are successful and growing and innovative have intellectual property at their backbone. Now, how does this relate to law firms and law firm branding? Again, as you see the world move towards more forms of communication and more forms of electronic communication and electronic messaging and websites and blogging, you're seeing the value of intellectual property in the form of the content that firms are producing, whether it's articles or white papers or podcasts or videos like you're very active in, as well as the overall brand that helps separate them from this whole mess of law firms in any one, space online. The brand is what helps separate and helps the potential client or the existing client remember and communicate and connect with them. So the role of intellectual property is changing and is growing for law firms as well.
Eric, I think you've highlighted something that is really critical here, and that is that the horizon is changing. The sands are changing, whatever metaphor we want to use. And law firms, while operating as a traditional provider of services, still has to adopt and adapt to the new ways of thinking, new ways of communicating. And social media and branding and new forms of marketing, while I'm not sure that they're really going to replace the personal relationships that are created between attorney and client, certainly complement them, supplement them, and in some cases, I suspect, as you mentioned earlier, really do replace the traditional methods of communicating with our clients. Yeah, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and letting us see a glimpse of what we need to think about as lawyers, as law firms, and how we communicate, how we protect ourselves, and how we grow the delivery of our legal services. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Ed. I enjoyed it tremendously.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.